Welcome, everybody, to another Face Rocker podcast, number 66. Man, we're getting up there. This week, we talk about Matt's birthday and also Matt's insane, crippling fear of flying. We kick everything off, though, with probably one of the more entertaining discussions you'll ever hear on the internet in podcast form of city flags. Every flag has a city, something that we found, and we found one city in particular with a particularly awful flag. I'm not going to hold you back anymore from it. Sit back, relax. And welcome to Face Rocker. Welcome, everybody, to the End Our Face Rocker podcast. Matt Arnold, his hello. Birthday today.
Hello.
Happy
hello.
Birthday, Matt.
I didn't know that. Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
Happy birthday.
It's okay.
That's
I didn't
fantastic.
Make a big deal about it.
The unstoppable Des Dolly, and joined today by Joey Skizzle, the
Joey Sugarpants, aka Joey Meatballs.
Yeah, Joey Two Times, Joey Two Meals, Joey. Yeah.
Joey Two Meals.
Joey Fourth Meal, aka Joey Fourth Meal.
Joey, where does Joey Two Meals come from?
Is that a real thing? I ordered two meals for dinner at a restaurant, and all my friends made fun of me, so.
Yo,
oh, that's,
Joey,
that's
yo,
an
just yeah. Joey Two Meals. He,
it's my Twitter now.
Really? That's your Twitter?
Joey, the number two meals.
Yeah, that's great. So follow Joey Two Meals.
That's fantastic.
And they weren't small meals. Like someone said that a salad doesn't count like a big salad. So yeah. It was two. It was like
actual
a,
entrees.
Yeah. What's the like lasagna thing?
A lasagna.
No,
yeah.
But there's it's like a it's not like a calzone, but it's like a, another C word, but it's not lasagna.
Ziti?
No,
baked like
ziti?
A baked ziti.
All right,
with a
so you got
a
one of those.
Ziti.
Yeah, I got one of those. And then
a lasagna,
and then something else.
So I when forget. They say it's like you take something on a date, and it's like you pay $40 for each of you. You paid $80.
Actually, Dan probably has the photo of the meals that I took because it was like that
they
big
took?
Of a deal. Yeah, he took a photo of the, what I.
This
put
was
down.
An event,
so maybe we could show that image right there of just the empty plates that I finished both.
Hopefully, on the website we'll have a picture of Joey Two Meals go.
Joey
two meals.
Eating his
the
not
infamous
lasagna.
Two meals.
Yeah.
So
but
we were
about me.
Yeah.
It's your birthday.
So we were laughing a little bit on the way, and you may have heard because we. So Alex, recording engineer and registered voter, came in here.
I love that that's our joke.
Well, he has a hat, right? And I've seen him wear this hat, and I asked him how long he had the hat for, and he said 6 years. I'm like, well, what is it of? It's like, you know, stripes, there's four stars in the middle. He's like, it's the flag of the city of Chicago.
Can I be honest? That made me feel better, Alex. I'm sorry if you're listening to this. I got to say, I think there's a part of me that always assumed it was some, like, Southern Confederate thing.
That's what I thought.
Like deep down,
it didn't feel like.
Which
some,
just surprised me coming from Alex, who was like not that at all.
Because he voted.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. I was just like, every time I saw, I was like, maybe, but maybe he just really likes his region.
You don't
like,
really look at it and think Midwest metropolis.
Yeah.
No,
so
like,
so Southern, I didn't know, and scuffle. I didn't know cities had flags.
None of us knew.
Yeah, none of us knew.
And so
knew.
I said, yeah, man, every city. Has a flag, which then got us on a furious Googling search. Well, so I looked at the city of Seattle. City of Seattle's flag is embarrassing. It's like this sort of teal blue. It looks like
they're
sperm.
All embarrassing. The thing because Benji came in and be like, "City of Chicago's got the best flag."
And it's a good flag.
And like it's like I mean, it's a line and four stars. I was like, "Well, I mean, it's fine, but it can't be the best." Until we looked, every city.
Oh,
flag.
Every city flag. So if you're out there, go get
if
on Google.
Ever, if you fail, let's put it this way. This is clearly every single graphic designer who's never gotten a job is just what
designing
this
flags.
This is the hallmark card of graphic design is
like
doing
the city of San Francisco
flags.
Looks like a clip art, like brown bird coming out of a red crown, and then San Francisco in Helvetica just kind of placed in the middle. Like, that's it. Yeah. That's the whole flag.
Los Angeles, they just took the Mexican flag, essentially, and then just gave it...
Like jaunty pyramids.
Jaunty pyramids of green, yellow, and red.
So real quick, guys, you should please tweet at us.
This
tweet
looks like when you're a kid and you make up a flag for yourself.
And they're worse than the flags I made up for myself. I'm like, my flags were badass when I was a kid.
So we're going through them. They're all pretty...
So real quick, please tweet us your city flags. Because you may think that your city has the worst flag and tweet that to Rocket Jump Tweet. But Matt...
No, we found the winner. If you have a winner. Flag, if you have a flag
think
worse...
You have to beat this, you have basically. To beat
this. I cannot... I laugh every time I look at this flag. This is... So... I'm sorry, if you live in Provo, Utah, Like, fuck you.
Oh, no, the poor people of Provo.
No, this is, the city must take responsibility for this flag. If you ever lived in Provo and you saw this and you haven't if you haven't written to your congressman or your mayor to change this,
You would leave Provo.
Now I'm feeling bad because I bet you there's some sort of story because we think it looks like NASCAR. Yeah. I bet you it's going to be something where, like, NASCAR paid for the city of Provo.
Is that the mayor of Provo waving the Provo flag? That's fantastic.
Provo's flag looks like
local businessman Ted Jumbly.
It looks like a tire company or like a printing press company from, like, 1990. It is straight up just a photoshopped, like, rainbow line diagonal with the word Provo written in. What font is that, Freddie?
It looks like, hold on, let me pull it up.
I mean, it's
here.
NASCAR font, essentially, in just all black with a drop shadow applied to it.
Yeah, it's like 30
drop shadow on a flag. I've never seen that before.
Straight up,
that's so weird.
Straight up, I think I could make this exactly, like, and if you timed it, 20 seconds in Photoshop. I'm not kidding.
No.
Background? Background, guys, would you look color? Hey, Matt, no, Mayor of Provo, Matt, do you want to do like a background on the flag?
Yo, here's what I want for my flag, okay?
We need to get the
designer
mayor
coming out of graduate
yeah,
school.
Yeah. I just graduated.
Utah's beautiful.
Middle of my class.
You've been to Utah, right?
Love it.
It's gorgeous.
Beautiful. There's colors everywhere.
Desert.
There's a rainbow of colors.
From
the blue sky to the red mountains to the green grass.
I want a rainbow of colors. National parks up the ass.
I don't want people to think it's a desert. I want them to think it's beautiful here.
Okay.
A rainbow
you
of color.
You got it.
And I want them to know our name is Provo, clearly.
Okay.
Right? And don't hide it. I want it to stand out.
Okay.
You know, like a whatever you need to do to make that font. I think that's all you need. Just let people know it's beautiful and colorful, and our name's
okay,
Provo.
Okay, when you say beautiful and colorful, first thing that comes to mind, rainbow.
I like it. I like rainbows.
No contest here.
I don't think people naturally think of rainbows when they think of Utah, but I want that association.
Right,
I like
but there are probably other cities with rainbows, so if I may chime in, I want to make sure and stress that people identify this rainbow with the city of Provo.
Yeah, I don't think you need much else. White's easy. Like, white stands, and nobody does white as a background.
That's true. It'll make it stand out when we put it up next to, say, the American flag.
Look, you sold me on rainbow. You don't need to keep, don't sell it when you got it.
Right.
What are you going to do about the name Provo, though?
I think here, so in terms of font treatments, I have a number of options. My thought is, number one, black text.
I like it because it stands out in the white because we're doing
white
background.
Right, because you chose white background.
So you're going to write Provo on the flag.
Now, here's the thing.
That's
so some people will
do... I moved in a rainbow, but then rainbow color would just blend in with a rainbow.
Honestly, I feel like there was less thought coming up with this flag than we're giving credit to.
It was like, whoa, my God, we got a press conference in 20 minutes. Where's Ted, the tech guy?
It's like, who knows Photoshop?
Ted,
who
knows flag? Ted,
someone,
need a flag?
Some intern's running down City Hall. Like, we need someone who knows Photoshop! Everyone's got a flag except us. We need one quick.
Oh,
if you lived in Provo and you saw this, I guarantee you nobody thinks that... Everybody in Provo, this is a public service announcement. That is actually your flag. That is not just like a thing that's hanging up, like saying your name. Because if I live in Provo and I saw this, in no way would I assume that was my flag.
No, I'd be like, so this is a graphic designer who like made a little, absolutely.
Or like some sponsored thing or something, because it doesn't look like a flag. It doesn't look like anything.
The Dodgers have like LA, you know, like on the hats and stuff, but that's not the flag. So you would assume seeing this Provo thing, it'd be like, oh, well, that's something that has to do with the city, but never assume that it represents the city.
So if anybody can find a city flag worse than Provo.
Matt, you should whip up a better one.
No. We should give one.
You know what? I'm feeling bad about saying F you to Provo because the more I look at it, the more I want to live in a town.
Don't just complain. Present a solution. All right.
Okay. Now, real quick, I just want to point out.
Should we do a Photoshop competition for Provo,
just very
Utah's flag?
Well, just very quick, I want to point out two things. Matt, you are not the only person who's brought this up.
Yes.
Over the past 2 years, I'm pulling up some news articles. The mayor of Provo, John Curtis, they've been trying to actually crowdsource and find a new design because 10 years ago, it looks like 2004, city's flag was voted one of the ugliest in the United States by the North American Vexillological Association. So they've been looking last year. And so there've been alternate flag designs.
Finding flag designers is gotta be tough.
Good?
It's probably,
I mean,
you know.
To be honest, they elevate Provo. Now here's the thing, okay? They elevate Provo. I've looked at some of these designs. They elevate it from the worst flag I've ever seen, which in and of itself makes your city stand out, to the same level of every other shitty city flag. Yeah. Like, it's stuff like this, which is just like blue stripe and like a mountain thing.
It's like the Seattle Seahawks.
Like a, it looks like a sea. It looks like a sports
It's true. There's something great about being this spectacularly shitty.
All right, now here we go. Criteria for flag suggestions are as follows, according to the mayor's blog post. Okay,
let's do this. Can we do a Photoshop contest? And the flag that we like the most, we will submit to Provo, and that person will get.
Yeah, we will use all of our channels to reach out to the city.
Yes.
Okay,
so if you're listening, send us a flag of Provo,
no,
Utah.
No, Matt, but before
the
we
one
get
we
into
like
it,
the most, we'll send. And yeah, we'll go ahead do the submission guidelines.
The submission guidelines, according to the mayor, because we need to go by what the mayor wants. Okay, and the flag is the
five guidelines.
Unless
you got an idea so spectacular that's going to blow his mind.
Here are the five guidelines.
Okay,
the flag has to be simple enough for a child to draw.
Okay,
which current flag? Check.
Check.
The flag must be, quote, symbolically rich with references to the city.
I'm just looking at their flag right now with everything you say.
Okay, now you'll love this one. The flag can't have more than a few simple colors. This flag, by definition, has every color on
the rainbow.
The flag cannot have letters or a seal.
Oh.
And they by the way, this next one, they pass with flying colors. And it must not look like every other flag.
This is like the I didn't know what. Now that I think about it, I think they got the flag they want. I think they got it. Other than the letters,
although to be fair, the flag can't be trendy because that risks the risks of it becoming dated.
Can you who made the? I'm sorry, this whole podcast is a promo flag. Who made the original flag?
I'm looking for that.
Okay.
Because it's really incredible.
We might not be able. I think this has been a few times. I think we have to edit within the podcast putting the flag up when we start talking.
No, we're
about
putting
it.
This up. We're putting it up
because this is unreal. But I'm serious. I think any listener to send us what's the email address they send it to?
Send it to.
Is there a podcast at?
No. Send this. Okay, guys, tweet it at Rocket Jump Tweet.
There you go.
Or mark our Instagram. Well, Rocket Jump, which is just Rocket Jump on Instagram now.
Hashtag Provo flag. And then we'll get it.
Provo's gonna be like, wait, what's going on?
Yeah, they'd be like, why are all these flag submissions coming in?
Why are we trending?
You know, I drove through Utah, and Utah is legitimately beautiful, so I feel incredibly bad.
I was surprised. I had no idea. Yeah. I was not expecting that.
You always, it's is Provo a big
city? Oh, you know, by the way, really quick, this is incredible. They were talking about city council meeting, and like their vexillologist, I'll never be able to pronounce that, is flag expert, clearly. They literally cite Chicago as the inspiration for, like, this is what a good flag
there you
looks
go.
Like.
See?
Yeah.
Bet you was right.
There you go, Alex.
So
yeah.
You win.
Yeah.
You had it right,
so as we move
son.
On, I really quickly want to apologize for saying F you to all the people at Provo. I actually just feel incredibly bad.
No, you were just saying F you to the flag.
Yeah, but I blamed everybody in Provo. I feel really bad about it. Provo, looks,
not
like a, Provo looks like a lovely city.
It is a lovely city.
You should apologize.
I should apologize.
None of us knew that cities had a flag
before this.
I'm sure half of them don't know.
No, look, straight up. Look, you got to admit when you're wrong, I was victim blaming. You guys are a victim of the worst flag in the history of flags.
And then,
seem like you have a lovely city, and you're clearly trying to fix it, so we're going to do our best.
And you guys
we're going to help you guys find a brand new flag design.
We'll do our best. I
mean, they're the nicest
out.
People there. They're all Mormons. They got Google Fiber. Like, what more can you ask for, really? Yep. You know what I mean?
They have Google Fiber? See, they're
Provo was the first place.
Look, if I could get Google Fiber at this
second.
If the Los Angeles flag became the Provo flag, I would make that trade-off. Like, so you guys win 100%.
Oh, my goodness. So, anyway.
What else is going on, guys?
Well, no. One of the biggest kerfluffles of the last few weeks in this new year was so much time and meetings spent talking about this freaking Nespresso machine. Which
Nespresso.
For people who don't know what that is, what is that, Matt? Like, could you explain it to me? Because I still don't.
It's just it's a Keurig, essentially. Is that how you pronounce
how
it?
How do you say that?
Keurig.
Keurig is the automated single-serve coffee maker.
Was Keurig the first?
All I can think of is just every company's logo now being the Provo flag with their name. Such as
we should change the face logo.
Face-hugger.
Put a rainbow under it and we'll be set.
Yeah.
So it's a single-serve instant coffee machine that you put like a pot in. And then it makes coffee. The Nespresso does espresso instead. So, like,
okay. Is there no other espresso single serve?
Not that I know of.
I don't know. All I know is the last time I walked through Bed Bath and Beyond, which I do quite often. Actually, they have every.
Yeah, there's a million.
I mean, every appliance manufacturer has their own like pod.
Well, yeah,
solution.
Coffee Bean has one. It's like the CBL now.
Starbucks
has one.
The Verissimo.
Correct. So yeah, Verissimo. So
dude, but real quick, Bed Bath and Beyond freaks me out because that store is so vertical.
It's a big store.
That?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
most stores lay things out horizontally. Bed Bath & Beyond's like, no, everything is like 10 feet above.
We just stack
above
everything.
They got a lot of sight. Stuff it's really freaking me out.
It's like
if you go in there, you feel like short.
Tall.
Well, that's tall. We are tall. A little short.
How do I get that?
How do I get that nightstand? I guess I don't need it. I guess I don't need that nightstand. Let's go home, honey.
How many sales do you think Costco loses because people look up and they're like, I don't have a forklift?
Yeah. Yeah. But, they probably have a forklift section.
They do, actually. Yeah.
But we all drink
forklift to get it.
We drink a lot of coffee here all the time. And we go to Starbucks because there's one kind of nearby. So. But anyways, we got the Keurig. We all kind of liked it, but it's not really good.
It's not great.
It's not great. We're not getting a sponsorship from Keurig. It's not very good coffee. So, Mike.
Now, wait, real quick. Is that a function of the pods or the machine itself?
I don't know. I would say
it's a combination of both because we get the budget pods.
Yeah.
You know, some of the more high quality bean pods are more expensive, more expensive. Okay. So we get the cheap.
I think
those
things, because
pods.
It's licensed out, like there's no quality control of coffee. Anybody can do their own coffee. Yeah. So there's just
also, to be fair, our Keurig is also very limited in its functionality. Yeah. Mm. The one I own has another function where you can go less water, so it's more like an espresso, and it actually is quite tasty with a quality pod.
So I'm just saying, can we do a Rocket Jump coffee pod?
Not for an espresso. So that's the thing with an espresso. An espresso is only
Nespresso branded.
Coffees, and it's. One has like a graphic, has a guy who clearly likes graphic design. Their whole thing just is really slick looking. It's kind of like the red thing.
It is a very slick looking.
Yeah,
it's
their
like
pods
a spaceship.
Are kind of. Their pods are like nice and cool. Which like you know I don't know. I'm a coffee snob, so I like kind of like the aesthetics.
I like
of
feeling
it.
Cool.
Yeah, I like the aesthetics of it. Like it makes me feel like you're in a coffee shop. But they also they range their coffee essentially from like
Matt
1 to 11.
Matt plays Nora Jones every morning when he makes his coffee.
From like 1 through 12 now, and so it's actually espresso. We got the version that also. Allows you to do coffee, and you can get a milk frother with it. So anyways, it was a big deal. Like, Mike came in. He's a big coffee drinker. He essentially demanded the company get an espresso machine.
Yeah, he convinced us all.
Yeah, he convinced us all. But we got it, and we didn't realize there was two different versions of it. So we bought the pods for the other version.
Yeah, lo and behold, we get the wrong one.
It's not that
one.
Interesting of a story. Essentially, we got an espresso machine. We're happy with it.
We finally got the one we wanted, but we're pleased. This morning, we all made each other cappuccinos
and
it's delicious. We finally got our pods.
That's that whole story. We got a coffee machine. It's not the one we wanted, but it's good. The end.
Here's what I came up to, though, this morning was... Three people standing around this thing. Grown men, like, playing with this thing. And Matt's like, it's not making the milk warm. It's
my milk's not frothy enough. My milk should be more frothy.
It's his birthday. He needs frothy milk.
That's fair. Matt, how old are you now?
How was I suddenly going, my milk is frothy?
That's what I heard.
That's what we hear.
We were trying to get the milk frother to work because it just wasn't working.
Matt, how old are you now? It's your birthday.
I'm 29.
Congratulations.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, almost. Oh my God! I'm almost. What are the things I'm supposed to say? Wow, it's almost 30. Man, it's been so long since college.
Just enjoy it.
You're not supposed to say anything, man.
I don't think about it.
Yeah,
I'm not a birthday guy at all.
Do you? And you know what sucks? You don't really because you know it's like what was it? Let's see, 18 you could vote, guns. 16 you can
lottery
drive,
tickets.
21. 25 rental cars get cheaper for you, right? Is there anything? Is there any more milestones that you get to hit? 60, you get senior citizen discount.
You make your own milestones. Situation.
Like, are there weird ones? Like, 29.
40, man. 40.
55.
You go get that Ferrari.
You can finally eat off the Denny's senior menu.
Oh, there you go. 55.
Senior menu. Yeah, 55. Senior menu.
Senior menu.
Yeah.
Movie
and then you can act
kinda,
you can also probably act kind of crazy when you get pulled over and get out of a ticket.
So nothing really. Yeah.
Nah.
Not until then.
You make your own milestones, man.
Yeah. What's your next one?
I don't know.
If you're like, going to make it.
I got married, so I guess I die next.
Yeah. No, you're just going to have to pay a lot of taxes every year, and then you die.
Yeah. Get married as late as possible, because that's the last big milestone.
Well, what about kids?
Kids, man.
Yeah, I guess there's kids.
I guess there's kids.
I don't know that yet. I don't know if we're getting kids or not.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it's a milestone.
That doesn't sound like it's going to happen anytime soon.
Maybe a milestone for the kid, less...
I guess it comes when your kid drinks. I guess then probably like the next milestone is like once you no longer have like function of your own body and you're put in a home, and then the one after that is you
very
die.
Depressing future.
Wow.
Here for Matt.
Jesus.
So pretty much,
so it's all downhill.
It's all downhill.
Is what you're saying.
You can vote, then you drink, you get married, and then pretty much every milestone after that is just a countdown to your death.
God, man, I bet your wife is so stoked
this
to hear
is
all
why
of this.
I don't celebrate birthdays.
Just marking time, God, man. Yep. Marking yep. time.
Do you guys, are you guys big birthday? Like, I don't know my friends' birthdays. Like, I feel no. I forget my parents' birthdays.
Well, I did an awful thing one year, and I now regret doing this because it was just mean. It's kind of mean. But I was just like, I'm just going to change my birthday to the 13th of every month. Like, every time it passes, I'm just going to flip it up two more months and just see what happens. Just see, like, how many
how
times
did that go for you?
People just keep wishing you happy birthday on Facebook without realizing that they've
were
done
really
it 2 months ago.
Were you really lonely that year?
No, because I thought
I need more attention. It's my birthday, please.
No, because I thought my feeling was like, I feel like people just like see, oh, it's someone's birthday, and just without thinking, wish them happy birthday, making that well-wishing kind of an empty gesture. And I was just curious how much.
But why do you think that's that? That feels like very untrustworthy of like humanity. Like, why is that an empty gesture? It's not empty.
Well, no, but, so here, I guess I'll put this
they're wishing. They're wishing you a happy birthday.
Well, and it's
how
it's,
much
it's,
you want.
You're the one who's being untrustworthy.
But it's happy birthday with the same distance that only Facebook and this sort of like, you know, 500 friends, social networking sort of thing can engender.
Look, it's not the same. It's not the same warmth as like, you know, a person like. A person you've known for a long time holding you and looking in your eyes and telling them they love you.
Wait, incidentally.
But it's also a bit more than like, hey, good day. Like, you know, they're happy you're alive and they're your friend and they say happy birthday.
To be fair, though, I have noticed the trend that it's less to do with it that they're saying like, hey, happy birthday, and more to do with I haven't spoken to you all year or you know, like, and then it's like, oh, I feel like you're getting happy birthdays from people who you never talked to.
Yeah, but is that, like, that's still something. That they're still acknowledging you. They have to take the time.
Right.
They read the thing, and they have to stop and think, oh, okay, I still want to acknowledge this person. Well, and then they spend a few seconds. Yeah. It's just a moment, right?
I don't say happy birthday to anybody on thinking Facebook. About you. Like, so yeah. Like, if I say happy birthday to you, it's like, you know, you're somebody I at least remember.
Yeah. Yeah. I want you to know I'm thinking about you even for just a moment. Hey, there you are. I acknowledge you. You're a person. You still matter to me.
I'm not like placing value judgment on like, oh, that's bad or whatever. I was curious about like, just again, how much of that is just automatic response and how much of it was like, oh wait, hold on, did I not do this last month? You know what I'm saying? Like, how much of it
just imagine
right
Freddie in college like a Hot Topic shirt and like a hoodie and like people going around like happy birthday just like mumbling empty
shirt. It's not even my birthday. I lied on Facebook. Sucker.
Well, Matt, to be fair, I preceded this entire story with saying it's not something that is an awful thing to do.
I know your version is much more like scientific, like empty gesture or
but also just how much of the social interaction on Facebook is just like automatic without thought, just first almost reactive.
Yeah.
You know, and again, and I did find that much of it was reactive. I was just curious. The answer was it was a lot, it was very reactive.
Yeah.
But then what happened was I forgot about that, like a lot of my stupid experiments, I forget about them.
Mm-hmm.
So then on Facebook it was like November 13th for like years.
And somebody finally was like,
No. It got to the point where people started like hitting me up on November 30th, but hey, it's your birthday, right? Remember? I'm like, remember? And then it became like almost worse because that's why I regret, because it's like then it became truth because that's how people figured out what the birthday was, and that's what they put down in their heads. Like, oh yeah,
the only time I've ever faked birthdays is when you sign up for like a club or like when you're playing like a video game like Animal Crossing and say when's your birthday, it's like
January 1st.
I'm not playing this game for a year.
Yeah,
like what's
I want
tomorrow?
My birthday's tomorrow.
My birthday's tomorrow,
so I get the free swag.
So I get whatever it is that you're telling me. Yeah, you go like Baskin Robbins. It's Coldstone, like when's your birthday? Oh,
it's today.
2 days from now.
Yeah. Wouldn't it? And by the way, really quick, wouldn't it be? Here's a question.
Could you imagine them be like, sorry, sir, we've cross referenced your birthday with Baskin Robbins, and we know you're fucking lying.
And we also logged into Facebook.
So no free Coldstone for
most
you.
Most of my adolescence was saying that I was 18 or older,
you know,
to get into a certain website.
Well,
certain websites.
I faked my birthday many times when I was younger.
It's definitely a moment, a developmental moment in your mind when you're like, wait a minute, this website can't do shit if I lie. Like, you know, like at first, I remember at first being like, well, no, I'm not. I better just
Was the best.
I better
exit. You at first, there's like that moment of panic, like, oh no, how are they going to verify this?
Yeah.
And then it's just that spinny wheel. You know, you just roll it down until it stops around 1972. And you're like, ha-ha! Gotcha!
January 1st, 1973, baby!
Yeah, exactly. I win. You lose. That's amazing.
I'm curious. Like as a kid, you're like, oh, what? Oh, porn? Okay. Oh, what's my birthday? Yeah, my birthday.
Porn? No.
22nd, 1986.
We were talking about certain voting websites. Yeah, sure, and gambling websites.
1986, and it's like you're not allowed in here. You're like, but you just asked my birthday. Why would you not? let me just change this to 76. Oh, hey, now I'm. Oh,
do you know what the worst?
I can get into anywhere. Yeah, that's by a lie.
That's a moment that teaches kids that lying is both acceptable and will get you awesome things. Yeah. That's what that teaches
you. It's also impossible to detect.
But there's also this issue really quick. Yeah, impossible to detect lies are awesome and will get you awesome things, naked ladies.
Lesson of the day, listeners, lie all the time. It gets you what you want.
But then there's also the other thing where I remember, was it Steam for a while that did this? Or I remember there's certain sites will just be like, they'll remember what you put down.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then they'll come back and they'd be like, that's not what you put down.
Well, you know, Facebook now, they won't let you change your birthday more than 3 to 5 times.
Oh,
period.
Really?
So I wonder if there's someone out there that was doing what you were doing, and they've changed it to say November 13th, and then find out they can't change it again. But since they don't want to lose their Facebook profile, they just have to adopt that new date as their birthday.
It's actually really interesting because my whole life, in terms of birthdays, is interesting. Just a quick story for my family. My whole life, we've been celebrating my dad's birthday like 3 days after my brother, in like April, or like March. It's been fluctuating. I'm like, why do we not have this pinned down? And they're like, oh, we actually don't know what your dad's like actual birthday is. I'm like, well, what do you mean? He's like, well, he was born during like the Cultural Revolution. You know, it's like so stuff going on in China. They didn't really use like a lunar calendar.
So then every year you would just pick sort of a convenient
date. Well,
it was just around Jimmy's
birthday.
Like Jesus Christ's Christmas. Birthday. Wow. That sentence
Jesus went Christ's away from Christmas. What was Jesus Christ's Christmas?
I'm getting old. I've seen that already.
It was just one of those weird things where he was so the thing is, so they don't know actually, so this is actually really interesting. So they don't know actually what day he was born, but they also aren't quite sure what year it was either. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just because again, it's like all this stuff. It's a little bit lost. And so when my dad came to this country, they take your word for it when he came in. So he was like, and my grandma said, well, because he wanted to come here to go to college. So my grandma said, say you're younger than you are, because she didn't know, but she's like, well, nobody old goes to college. Like, you got to say you're younger. So he did. So he's put himself down on paper as like 5 years younger than he actually is.
That's great.
Interesting.
So, which is, okay, so then it turns out it didn't matter.
I feel like that was the wrong decision. I feel like
yes,
she
because
older.
Guess what? Because guess what? Now he's like, shit. Yeah. I have to wait 5 extra years for all of the fucking retirement.
He should have said like 10 years older. One, he could have been assuming your father lives to a ripe old age of like 90.
Yeah.
He could be like the oldest man in America. if he gave himself an extra 10 years, they probably wouldn't check it. And yeah, he could have been getting like, again, Denny's discounts now.
Denny's.
Imagine
how I'm sure.
Yeah, my
Freddy's dad is just sitting at home, just stumped. As like, wondering why?
Man.
Why, Lord? Why?
These
did
Hobbit
I get those
meals.
Discounts at
why,
Denny's.
Why am I paying $7.99 for this Power Slam breakfast?
I really
could be paying $6.89. Yeah.
They have smiley face pancakes this month, damn it. Why?
But in terms of just like retirement benefits, he's like, holy crap, like I have to wait 5 years to get these. I should be having these.
Yeah.
Like, anyway.
Yeah. And it's also like, it doesn't matter how old you are going to college. Like,
to be fair, Matt, didn't speak English at the time, coming from China, didn't quite know that.
Big mistake. Your dad didn't know what he was doing when he escaped the Cultural Revolution.
It, Papa Wong.
Anyway, so that was one of the interesting things where it's like, huh, it's just sort of arbitrary.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, Matt, maybe your birthday can be arbitrary.
Did you get any rad gifts or anything? No. Like, nobody does that.
I really don't.
Do your parents send
gifts?
You a card?
Just wait. I'll make you something. Yeah. By the end of the day, I'll be like, hey.
I mean,
check this out. Your
parents
actually went to. Yeah. Well, actually, they haven't yet. So.
Well, it's still early.
If I'm
day.
Slowly getting more depressed throughout the day, it's because my parents didn't call me for my birthday.
That's all right. My mom
did they send you a card?
Huh?
Do they send you cards? You have a big family. Do you get cards from everyone? Or?
No. I mean, even as we're here, I've gotten some birthday messages from like Igor. Thank you, my brother. Not Igor. Igor's not my brother. Igor, the composer, and then
Igor's
my brother.
Awesome. Igor
Thanks,
is Igor.
Awesome. I just don't celebrate. And me and Ash, like once you're married and you are just kind of buying stuff and it's all like the same bank account. It's like, hey, here's the thing. So
here's the Amazon charge.
Yeah, we'll do like dinner stuff, and we did the Seattle vacation. So that was kind of like our like Christmas.
Yeah, their birthday
birthdays.
Was hanging out with me.
Yeah, it was for like.
Sounds like
done
dream.
That quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to go to that chicken noodle soup place that you guys were talking about.
Chicken noodle soup.
Chicken
place.
Noodle
yeah,
noodle
was like
soup.
This great soup place that you guys were like raving about.
I like ramen.
Yeah, well, no, it's not ramen. You guys said it was something else, though.
In Seattle?
No, no, it was, like, in Pasadena or something. You guys said it was, like, the best thing. It was while we were editing VGHS.
Chicken rice. Hainan chicken rice.
Chicken rice in Alhambra?
Hainan chicken rice.
Yeah, yeah. So you guys, like, did that on a day or it became its own holiday?
We should do that. We should just go someday after work and just drive down to Alhambra and do it.
Get chicken rice?
Yeah.
Yeah, chicken rice.
I've had it.
It's chicken and rice.
Yeah.
So does it sound amazing?
I was like, I remember.
It doesn't, but it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Well, you know, it's a great dish. It's a great dish, everybody.
Chicken and rice.
We go put
sweet
some
covered flags, birthdays, chicken
it?
And rice.
No, it's fantastic. Okay, I love it. It's like one of my favorite things. It's a place in Alhambra called Savoy Kitchen. And I've been, by the way, I'm a big fan of this dish. And it's like a street food in Singapore. So when I was in Singapore, one of the things I did was I was like, I'm going to three of the places here. I'm going to a place recommended by like the internet. I'm going to a place recommended by like online forums that get a little deeper into it. And I'm going to a place that is like a local is going to recommend to me. I'm going to try all these places and just see how this place in Alhambra compares. And what it came down to was our chicken is on par, but our rice isn't as good as they get over there. But it's really close.
Yeah.
It's good. It's really, really good.
Rice
so again,
is really hard.
I got birthday well wishes for my dentist.
They
coming in for a discounted cleaning
just,
X-ray.
Just throwing that out there.
Wait, are you going to go in?
Is it a personalized or automated message? Automated.
It's got like
don't
a little
lie to
gif
us.
Of balloons.
No way, really?
Hey!
Wow, hey, look at that.
I'm going to your dentist.
I'm pretty sure they've made that individually for me.
I got one for my dentist on my birthday.
They have a clip art guy on staff.
They have an assistant who's just their whole thing. He's like, hey, I got four more birthdays today, Chuck. I don't know how many different balloon gifs I can whip up. I'm exhausted. All these spheres with colors.
Hey, Chuck, this balloon gif looks a lot like the last one you did. You slacking over there?
Oh, what? No, no, what are you talking about? Anyway, we'll regale you with some stories of our birthdays, maybe. After
I doubt
the
it. I think we're done with
after the break. Stick around. We're coming right back. Hey, everybody. Wanted to tell you a little bit about a show that we're doing on Rocket Jump 2, youtube.com/RocketJump2, called This Week at Rocket Jump. We're entering the second season of it. It is produced, directed, and shot by John Carman of Ruby Dog fame. We're working with him, and it's a great look behind the scenes, sort of, at what's going on here. Second season just started. New episode. It is a horrific episode. You see what happens when we come back from break in the office. Highly recommend it. YouTube.com/RocketJump2. If you're watching this on YouTube, you already know. You're already here. But I definitely recommend you check out the show This Week at Rocket Jump. So Matt just went to Yellowstone.
Yep.
And you got back
yeah,
in one
piece.
Yeah,
so we're going to talk about this now.
Yeah, we're talking about this. Matt, we've discovered, has a crippling fear of flying.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I don't like flying.
I wouldn't say you saying I don't like
it. I don't
flying.
Like it, but Freddie says crippling, so.
Well,
it's
Matt,
gotten,
describe
it's
the story.
Worse.
Tell
it's
us the story.
Worse.
Tell us the story. Tell us the whole thing.
I mean, what, the Yellowstone story or.
Well, your first plan. Well, here's how we knew about this, is because Matt was like coming up to me and he was like, Freddie, you've like driven to Seattle and stuff, right? I'm like, yeah. It's like, how long does it take to drive from here to Montana? I was like, why? I don't like. He's like, is it gonna be snow? I was like, yeah, it's gonna right now. It's gonna be snow. You're gonna have to bring chains. And he's like, okay. I'm like, what are you talking about? Why do you care? He's like, so Ashley and family were gonna do. They're doing a thing up in Bozeman, Montana, and like, I was thinking of just driving there.
Yeah.
Oh god.
And like, how long is that drive? It's like 16 hours. Like what? So his plan, Matt's brilliant plan, was to leave like Thursday, drive 16 hours straight through snow in this two-wheel drive Accord with chains to get up to Bozeman, hang out for the weekend,
Gaudi Honda,
and then drive all the way back because Matt didn't want to fly.
So I don't know how. Look, I feel like I'm an intelligent person.
You are.
I feel like I'm a rational person.
Absolutely.
I can't, and you know, as my wife deals with, you know, cognitive disorders and mental diseases, so I hate to self-diagnose, but it is legitimately frustrating because I have become slowly incredibly terrified of flying. And it doesn't have, is what's weird, and it doesn't have anything to do with like death. Because we were talking about this. I went to Yellowstone in the snow.
Yeah.
I've never ridden a snowmobile before. Within like 3 hours, I was like going off like things that I was like,
Rams.
Yeah, like Ash was terrified. Like, you're going to kill yourself.
Yeah, Matt was casually telling us a story of like, yeah,
we accidentally went down like a ski slope on our snowmobiles, like the hardest ski slope.
He's like, yeah, I looked to my left, there's a 50-foot drop, but oh well, good thing I missed that.
Yeah.
And then Matt describes like a little bit of turbulence, he like,
So this is what happens. So like every. The real problem with it is that I become consumed. The moment I book a ticket, I've always joked every year, like, oh, the moment I book a plane ticket, like, I just assume I'm going to die on that date. And, like, I kind of do just, like, slowly get to the point where I'm like, yeah, I guess the end of my life is in 4 months when I got on the airplane. But I don't know what it was. I think it's because it's happened so often. We flew back from Seattle. Okay. We took a train to Seattle, so I would only have to fly once.
God.
Oh, jeez.
Ashley's parents wanted to take us to Yellowstone. Very lovely, like, Christmas gift. She took, like, me, her parents took us, and then her brother and her and his girlfriend. But it was, like, beautiful, like, winter holiday in Yellowstone, where you snowmobile through Yellowstone and then do trails and stuff. But, of course, we had to fly there and back. And the moment I booked that flight.
Oh, by the way, we got to do the burger story.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The moment I took that flight, like legitimately, I would say probably about a third of my nights as I went to bed, it'd be me on the phone watching plane crashes and reading all the statistics
oh
of
my
everything.
Lord.
So
real quick, what was the flight? What was the type of plane that you got on?
It was I thought it was going to be an Airbus 320, and then once I got on, they changed it to a Boeing 737, which is slightly safer than Airbus 320.
How many
737 is
how
one,
many total losses?
One accident in 15 million hours on the Airbus 737, and then one accident in 14 million hours for the Airbus train. Again, in the most absurd statistic on the planet. There's no way you're going to die on an airplane. Right. Like, as we were talking about, I'm 100% more likely to die.
Yeah, you're like
driving to Montana 16 by myself.
Hours by yeah. yourself
16
in the
hours
snow.
In the winter.
Yeah. Wait, real quick, how many total losses?
So
Airbus
I think 320? It's 53 on a 53 on an Airbus 320, and then 35 on a 737.
So the internet ruined you for it. You just look it up.
It's the problem is I'm a busy person. And my brain is very easily obsessive about things.
Yes.
So the problem with it really is just about how much time. We live near the Burbank. Here it is. We're near the Burbank Airport. When I'm driving to like coffee, every time I see an airplane, I almost crash a car because I'm watching it just to see
if it makes it in, okay.
Like, yeah, literally. Yeah.
Well, I remember we were sitting outside the chute last week. And we
like
were
you pull over. It's like, I'm going to help guide him in. I'm going to guide him in. Follow me, boys.
Well, Des, you're like this. We were sitting outside in the chute and looking, just, you know, talking about Matt's anxiety and talking to Jake. Uh-huh. And Matt looked up at the thing. He's like, yeah, every time I see a plane, I just imagine a cabin full of 200 people screaming.
So, so I realize what it is, because like if I'm in a car and I die, like I don't know, it's like it's me and I just die. It's like in that, and I think it's partly claustrophobic. It's like when you're in that small space and there's all those people. It's not about me dying. I literally think about like that mom and like her 12-year-old and like their last moments together. Like,
and then
I become overwhelmed by the idea of like that many people dying in terror.
And also planes crash. They don't spontaneously vaporize.
Yeah.
So when you're going
it's the slow descent
yeah. as you know. This
exactly.
is it.
So it's all that. Yeah. And it's anxiety. So anyway, so I was like, know what though? You're an idiot. Take the flight. If I don't fly and everybody else flies, what's going to happen? Hey, like, what would be worse? I die in a plane crash, or I'm driving to Montana and my wife, her family, and all of them die, and I'm a survivor for not going. So it's just as horrible. I'm like, of course, I'm going to fly.
I like, by the way, in that scenario that you assume that you're surviving this 16-hour nonstop, like, all-nighter.
Again, rational person, I'm just going to do it. It's not going to be a big deal. I'll take, I got some pills for anxiety. I'll take some pills.
Do you puke? Do you, like, get air sick
at all? So this is what happened.
Okay.
So I got on the plane.
He's managed to convince himself to get.
What do they give you?
It's like, wait,
real quick. He's managed to overcome his fear to get himself to the airport to actually get on the plane. He's, his rational mind has beat out his reptilian mind.
I'm watching Agent Carter on the airplane.
You're sitting on the plane. Has it taken off?
It takes off. I'm not even like that nervous. Again, once I get in the airplane, I kind of just accept I'm going to die or not die.
So you've accepted okay with dying that day.
Yep, it's just going to happen or not.
You've
it's not
taken
in my hands
off,
anymore.
You're watching Agent Cody Banks.
Agent Carter.
Watching Agent Cody Banks.
I'm watching Agent Cody Banks for the story.
I'm just picturing.
And then I kill myself because I'm watching Agent Cody Banks.
I'm just picturing Matt do that Will Ferrell like elf stepping onto the escalator.
I feel so stupid. It's like Ashley is like as the plane starts moving, like Ashley holds my hand like a fucking 10-year-old. Like it's like I feel so stupid. Like I'm with her parents, like I'm an adult.
It's okay,
it's so stupid.
Her whole family's there.
Whole family's there.
Oh boy.
I mean,
so
no,
you
got to
keep it together.
It gets more embarrassing.
You
got
to keep it together.
I got to keep it together.
Okay. Okay. Right.
Do you shut your eyes? Do you like
a little bit?
So right now you're all zombified on Xanax.
I literally count to 7 minutes once the plane flies.
Yeah.
Because after that, it's
you're
like,
counting
you're,
in your head.
You're cruising altitude. Yeah.
Okay,
you're because statistically, fine. You're more likely
exactly.
to be okay.
Once you get out, it's there. So
you're
it's,
waiting
it's
for the stewardess to hand out the peanuts.
And again, to be fair, I think at every point, every single person on an airplane, at one point during that flight, thinks about their mortality.
I know I always do.
Which
I used to have a lot of trouble flying, but I'm okay with it.
I don't even like parties. I don't like vacations. Like, I just want to stay at home and do my work. So the fact that on a vacation, I have to think about my mortality. I think most of my life is spent trying to avoid thinking about my mortality. So why is vacation where I have to do it? So anyways, so we're flying. It's all fine. We get into the middle of the country. I just think I just can't fly in the middle of the country. Denver, right? It's like, it's not even stormy. It's just that is where it's windy and it's crappy.
A little turbulence there, yeah.
It starts getting a little turbulent. I'm not doing so great, but I'm like, it's fine. It's not a little bit of turbulence. When we start our descent, it is the worst turbulence I've ever been in.
Uh-huh.
It's legitimately like people. There are people who are screaming.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
There is like
is
people
luggage
worried.
Coming down
I'm watching
from the
other.
Overheads?
It's one of them pop open.
Okay,
whoa. It's bad turbulence.
Overhead pop open. Agent Cody Banks DVD has frozen and
it's
skipping.
Turbulence.
But the masks didn't come
of
down.
Of course, there's one awesome dude who should be me in front of me. He's like. This is totally normal. It's like, anyway, so what were we talking about? Like, this is nothing. I'm like, of course it's nothing. Like, airplanes don't crash. Like, I've been on bumpy roads. I've been in bumpy water. It's the same thing. Like, I should understand the engineering of this. It's fine.
Because real quick, someone was telling us, I think you were telling us, a guy who was like a small plane pilot, like, you think this is turbulence?
Yeah.
Turbulence.
No, they literally say, like, it is literally not even worth considering dangerous in any way until it's at the point where your head could hit the ceiling. And even then, it's like, it's fine. Airplanes are designed to survive that amount of turbulence.
So what is going through your head? People are screaming.
Yeah, I saw a video of a plane test that they do for a wing for Boeing. The wing bends up 150% from without breaking. Like, it's designed
to just
flop around.
That's freaking amazing.
And you would think about it, if your whole room moved like a foot instantly, it would be crazy. That's how much. An airplane's not like, you're fine. So anyways, you're fine.
Okay,
but it doesn't matter at that point. The moment it starts happening, I just get so I literally have a panic attack.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to have a heart attack. I'm not even thinking about death. It's just, it's claustrophobic. The lights are flashing.
Yeah.
Women
screaming. I start vomiting. I vomit for about the entire 20 minutes of the descent.
Oh my gosh.
Sick sweat.
Do they even put vomit bags on airplanes anymore?
It was bad. It was,
you had nothing left, though. What happened at the end of that?
We had
minutes.
Vomit bags. I kept doing I kept looking for the vomit bags. I pointed at Ashley. She realizes I'm about to barf everywhere. We literally open up the headphones, like the plastic wrap for the headphones, and I vomit into a plastic wrap. This was horrible. Like, I'm like with her family.
Oh.
Like, it shouldn't be happening.
That's great.
Yes.
When we land, the good thing about that is I was vomiting so much that I didn't even notice we landed. So I was like, oh, we landed. Okay, I'm alive, right?
Yeah.
When we get off that plane, I'm like, I'm driving from Denver to Montana. I'm not getting on this plane, like, no matter what. Like, to the point where, like, I'm the last person to get on the plane because I'm just sitting there working myself up to get onto the plane.
Because you have a layover in Denver.
We have a layover.
Okay.
That's the other thing. I have to do nonstop. It's like, I'm going to survive one flight or not.
Yeah. That's amazing. That you have to get back on another flight.
Yeah, you're still
holy
not even there.
Hell.
I the only thing that's more crippling than my fear of flying is probably like just fear of just being socially awkward. So I'm like, I have to get on this flight.
Yeah.
I can't be the person who doesn't get on that flight. It wasn't even turbulent. That second flight, I can't describe, like, my brain shut down. It was just 2 hours of just like claustrophobic sweat, just horrible, just the worst. And of course, the last 30 minutes, I vomit again. I'm just
sweet.
So it's just a miserable 6 hours of my life.
Hey, man.
The moment we land, so this is what happened. The moment we land,
flying is already uncomfortable as it is. I can't imagine being in a full blown panic attack for 6 hours.
It was horrible. So the moment I land, I tell Ashley, I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. There's no, like, if, in order for me to enjoy the next 2 days of this vacation, I have to tell myself I'm driving. Like, I'm driving back. I'm going to take the money. I'm going to spend $400 on a rental car. I have to drive back. That's what I did. I drove
what
back.
What was her response?
I drove back. No, she understood. She was next to me.
She's like, I saw you puking for six hours. So,
yeah, we're not doing that again.
And again, like,
she's like, yeah, that was bad.
That's why I'm lucky. There's nobody else who would tolerate that. If there's any reason to marry her, it's because she will handle that. She's used to dealing with people with, you know, issues. But then again, it's the embarrassing thing. I don't want to tell her parents I'm driving back. So we wait till like the next night, and like, they're all so nice. Like, nobody talks about it the next day. They just all accept, like, yeah, Matt's going to drive. They're going to do it. The thing that made me feel bad is, like, Ashley didn't want me to drive alone, so I dragged her along. Like, she drove with me back.
Oh, yeah.
And I paid for it. It's 16 hours. Is a long drive. I mean, it was beautiful.
Had you
first.
Already booked your flight back? Because that's probably not refundable.
Nope.
Man.
Yeah, that's how bad it was. I would not, that was bad.
Ooh.
My cat, I'll just put it this way. I woke up last night with the worst cramp I've ever had in my life because I drove essentially 16 hours straight and that pedal accelerator.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so now I have a cramp for the next 2 days. Yeah. It is, it's almost,
Matt, cruise control, for fuck's sake.
So, not in the freaking snow and ice.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, yeah, it was pretty, I mean, it wasn't that dangerous, but I mean, the first 4 hours of that drive was pretty...
Harrowing.
Pretty serious. Yeah. Like, it was a lot of snow,
You know what the funny thing is from Ashley's perspective?
But you know what, I'll put it this way. I was so relaxed. I felt so good driving, though. I was just enjoying the environment.
But here's what's funny. Because here's what's funny. Ashley's parents' perspective. They go. You drop them off the airport.
My daughter married the city.
Well, no, it's not even that. You drop them off the airport, I assume.
Yeah.
Right. They looked back at that car and they're driving 60 hours back. They're like, well, my daughter and fiance are dead. Like,
yeah. My daughter is more likely to die.
In their minds, you died.
Yep.
Man, I put myself in those anxiety type of scenarios, especially when I want to play. And my best in-flight movie that I ever did was watching Buried with Ryan Reynolds. Because, like, the screen is, like, 2 inches away from my face, you know, on the seat back in front of me. And man, that was one of the best movies I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because of the atmosphere that I was in.
And it's all, like, claustrophobic.
Oh, my God. I used to want to be
pilot when I was a kid.
I was gonna say
that's incredible.
Like, I grew up watching The Rocketeer, you know.
Yeah,
like, that's hot.
Liked flying when I was a kid.
Yeah. Top Gun.
I wish it had not overwhelmed my brain this much.
So you've never had it all the time.
No, it's like every year. And then I was reading, I guess, like, literally this age is like where it most likely gets the worst. And people, like, there's a lot of, like, hypothesis as to why, whether it's like a kind of a midlife crisis sort of thing where you, like, oh, you're married, you might be having kids, you're responsible for people.
I just feel like
lack of control is more scary at this age.
Your level of stress is probably at an all-time high. Yeah.
What's weird, though, is, like, I handle stress, like, that's what's so I'm a rational person, I handle stress really well, like, film shoots don't bother me, like, the stress of this business doesn't bother me, like, I'm pretty...
Let me ask you something real quick, Matt.
Yeah,
I was so stupid.
I'm surprised to hear this.
Yeah.
This fury.
So after all said and done, Matt.
Yeah.
So when's your next day you're going to die?
So it was going to be September 9th for my friend's wedding. They changed it to September 26th.
You got 2 more weeks of life.
In New Jersey. Yep. 2 more weeks of life. I'm going to try. Well, we'll see what happens.
Where is this?
New Jersey. I'm not as concerned because it really is the middle of the country. The worst stuff.
You know what they do
the
have is they have those iPads on wheels that you could teleconference into. You have a little camera.
I'm a best man. There's like no way.
Oh my god! Yes! Oh yes! I want an iPad surrogate best man situation.
And across the country.
What if we buy that? Can we do that?
So good. Across the country is outside of driving range. Like if I can get to a place within a day, I might drive instead of fly. Like, if we have to go to San Francisco,
I might
drive instead of fly.
Absolutely. But, San Francisco's easy.
Yeah, it's what, 6-7 hours?
But I can't be like, hey, guys, I got to take 3 days off of work at the beginning and the end.
So after the wedding, I'll see you next month.
Yeah. I can drive across country.
It's like how things used to happen in, like, the Oregon Trail days. Yeah. Like, there's a wedding, I'll see you next month.
Yeah, we're, like, planning our honeymoon. I'm like, maybe San Diego for the honeymoon? Anyways, maybe
so you have
one
two
day,
more. You have two, right, that you have to do. Your honeymoon likely.
Yeah.
And your best man duties.
I'm definitely going to go to the pills I took this time, not recommending this for people, were given to me without any prescription. This time I'll probably go to the doctor and say,
you should,
what's going
on? You
shouldn't
let them know, hey, the Xanax did not work.
Yeah.
Give me something good.
Or the thing is, I didn't know. It's, again, it was given to me. I didn't know how much milligrams it was, so I didn't want to, like, I was also taking Dramamine because I get motion sickness. So
by the way, real quick.
I was reading, like, you could go into a coma if you take too much of this stuff.
Hey, real quick, you took Dramamine for a motion sickness. Well, that worked out great, right?
Yeah. Well, that's exactly it. I wasn't throwing up for motion sickness. It was like just panic attack anxiety.
Just pure fear.
It was pure
just
fear.
Mortal fear.
Mortal fear.
Yeah, most people have the what's known as the fight or flight response. Right, yeah. Matt doesn't have the flight scenario there. It's just fight.
Just all
or
fight.
Throw up all over yourself.
Yeah.
But that's the problem with the plane. You can't fight or flight. There's nothing you can do. Well, you're just in an airplane.
Well, technically.
What? Yeah, you're technically flying. Yeah, hey, everybody. Hey,
at least
that's the story of why Matt
bathroom.
Is a freaking idiot who can't be rational.
I was in the bathroom once during just like one bump of turbulence, like 1 foot jump, and it was like right as I was like leaning forward to wipe, and then there was a bump, and the stall is so small that I instantly just hit my head straight on the door. It's
like, oh, great. That's great.
Yeah.
Can you imagine
came back with a lump on my forehead?
Can you imagine busting through the door? Just naked.
Chris Farley style. Yeah, exactly.
Tommy Boy.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
So funny.
I never vomited on a plane before, but I used to have the serious panic attack.
Yeah.
Luckily, I've grown out of that. Yeah. And I've, but
you were what, six, seven?
No, I was. This is when I first moved to California. Every time I would fly home to visit my parents for a holiday. Yeah. I would do the same thing in my head. I'm like, this could be the end for me.
Yeah.
And now, I think I'm at a point now where I still think that.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, at least I'll be dead, and then I won't know that I'm dead.
That's what bugs me so much. Like, I've stood on a ladder like while filming like dumb stuff and be like, hey, this is probably dangerous. Like, I'm not here.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you know, it doesn't fear me. But it's fun.
You feel like you're in a little more control.
Frankly, the worst thing that came out of this is the night before flying, I started looking desperately for therapy online for fear of flying.
Mm-hmm. No way.
All scams. Because there's nothing you can really do. It's actually one of the few fears that, like, just like doing it repeatedly doesn't help.
Right.
Exposure therapy.
No, you probably would need to go to a normal therapist and just talk about your stress issues.
So they're all scams.
What about that?
I'm on like 3 email lists somehow, and I can't get off of them.
Yeah.
So every day now, I'm getting. So fear of flying, free help, stop emailing me. I can't find a way to get off your list. And now what's worse is that every time I open my email, I see the word flying.
Yeah. It's just trauma. It's amazing.
It's looming death.
So that's the worst part of it.
You know, Fear Factor tested out all that stuff, like
hypnotherapy
and stuff, or seasickness and all that type of stuff. And they're like, it's all scam.
It's all hooey. Hogwash.
Yeah. It delayed the inevitable. It's like, instead of getting seasick in 15 minutes, I got seasick in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Like that, but I got sick and I threw up. You know, like that's still what they concluded.
Yeah.
Freddie, I assume you're a rock star on an airplane. No problem.
I have the superpower of, like, I call full clearing
a
flight.
If I could do what you do, I would fly all the time. It wouldn't matter.
I love it. I do what I call full clearing a flight, which is to fall asleep before the plane takes off and to wake up after it lands.
That's the best.
How do you do that?
It's so loud.
Is there a safe drug? I don't want to be like Michael Jackson. Is there like a safe drug where I can just like guaranteed be knocked out?
Well, look. Here's what I do now, Matt, and this might help you.
Not really.
Here's the thing,
right? I wish.
You could take a couple of Benadryl.
Yeah.
Which
Benadryl
really helps.
Will push you.
Benadryl
yeah.
will so knock hard. You out. Here's the other thing. I never wanted to do this before because when I was younger, I was like, well, I don't want to look like an idiot or an old man on this airplane. But now I got the cushiest neck pillow.
Neck pillow is very important.
I got sick earplugs and I got a dope pair of headphones, like full ear headphones. And I just put myself in an eye mask.
Yeah.
I go full bore into my own dark room.
I don't mind
and
like
I knock
idiot.
Myself
pillow.
Out.
I mean, to be fair, you can't look any more of an idiot than just sitting there vomiting for 30 minutes.
I look pretty bad.
Yeah.
So
who's the people sitting next to you? Like
Ashley, just Ashley.
Just Ashley.
Dealing with me vomiting.
Yeah.
Just like that. I married that.
There he is. That's
it. The thing is, like, Benadryl and, like, Dramamine, those things don't make me... Even the pill I took didn't affect me that much. Like, I don't
Here's
know
the problem. Is that
I think all I need to do is stay up for 48 hours before I
knock yourself out. Yeah.
Like, because that's the only way I sleep is when I'm so exhausted I just pass out.
Freddie, do you still sleep...
Wait, no, what am
haircut?
I talking about? The thing to do is just to stop being scared of flying. Like, that's what I need to
I
do.
I don't think you making yourself exhausted is going to help your ability to manage stress.
No, I think you'll just start hallucinating shit.
Yeah, it's going to get worse. It's going to be in serious pain when you can't sleep on an airplane because you're vomiting and you haven't slept in 3 days.
I'm just
tired. It's just making it worse.
It's just making it worse. Yeah, it's just becoming an adult and just accepting that flying's safe.
What was that, Joey?
Do you still sleep when you get your haircut? You sleep in the chair.
This is
So I didn't know that this is a weird thing.
Yeah, well, Freddie didn't find out.
It's the weirdest
that's the
thing.
Weirdest
and Freddie
thing.
And I have the same hairdresser. You can probably tell neither of us get our hair cut very often.
No, I'm sorry.
She's telling me one day, she's like, yeah, you know, it's at least, you know, you and I can carry on a conversation. Like, what does that even mean? Because my brother
like
also
Asian
goes
people.
There. What are you talking about? She's like, no, when Freddie comes in, he just sleeps. I go, wait, what? What do you mean Freddie just sleeps? She says, oh, yeah, he'll sit down and put the apron around him, and he falls asleep, and he stays asleep. Sometimes he snores, and I'll cut his hair. I'll wake him up, and he walks
have
out.
Have you looked to see if anybody does that? It's like hairdressers. Like,
I asked her, too. I said, wait, is that common? Because I don't do that.
No, you
but
shouldn't
I only
do
know
that.
About my own experience.
Yeah, right.
She says, no, Freddie is my only client. I have never had anyone do that.
It's so weird. Like, that person must be, like, they're touching just a sleeping person like the whole time. Like she's gone from a hairstylist to like a morgue like beautician.
Well,
essentially.
Also, you know, when you were getting your hair cut, there's every now and then it's like, look over here, over there.
I will follow your commands. Yeah, I'll follow those commands.
Why? Okay, so you're kind of in and out of it.
You think that?
I don't know.
It sounds like you are completely.
You follow the command. You fall asleep. Your head moves, and she's like, I gotta get over here.
I would assume you're like Bernie and Weekend at Bernie's, where
she's just like moving your head, flipping and flopping.
We should send John with a camera next time.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
No, really, so here's the thing. I was like, this is because I asked her last night because everyone was like, that's weird. I'm like, is it?
And yeah.
I'm like, yeah, because I was like, yeah, you got head massage, it's kind of quiet, you got your eyes closed, and you just fall asleep.
It's a person touching you and telling you commands and trying to talk to you.
She's got razor blades and scissors and trimmers, and you're just like, I'm done.
I mean, it somehow feels abusive. I don't know why. It somehow feels like abusing a servant or something. It's like,
it feels
it's
very
gone from
inconsiderate
like,
of their time. It's like the least you can do is entertain them while they're cutting your hair.
It's gone from like two equals, like, hey, you are good at cutting my hair. As a human being, I'm going to sit down. You're going to cut my hair. We're going to talk like human beings. To being like, hello, thing that does what I wanted to do. I'm going to sleep now. Tell me when you're done.
When you're done.
Like, it just feels so weird. I don't know why. It feels really weird.
I've been doing it since I was a kid.
That's awesome.
I've been doing it since I was a kid.
Like, and no one ever pointed anything out. You just thought you were doing the thing.
Well, nobody ever pointed out that it was extremely atypical.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's just weird because I asked her, I'm like, wait, is this a weird thing? She's like, yeah, it's really weird.
So here's the thing. Can you change your habits from a kid? Because it's not going to stop you from sleeping, is it?
You're just comfortable.
I really like my naps. Yeah. But so that's the problem. It's a normal thing.
You've been
especially
conditioned.
When you're as busy as you are. You got to squeeze in a 15 minute.
And not just my hair, but
what?
Whoa. Matt just goes, you've been conditioned.
Oh, conditioned.
Oh, right.
Napping, I understand, but like when I hear like, you're sleeping through some of the.
She uses the straight razor on you, right?
Straight
do you
razor?
Not know because you're sleeping?
Yeah. No, I think, No, it's the
she shaves the back of your neck with a straight razor, so he's sleeping, not in control of all of his
Nobody's
faculties.
Nobody's arguing about napping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But napping's that's great. Not the place to nap.
Like, here, I'll put it this way. The next podcast, we should try this. I bet you I could fall asleep within 1 minute of just being in this scenario if I just sat back and, like, went down.
Oh, we should. That would be hilarious. If Freddie falls asleep 1 minute into the podcast, and we just podcast around him.
Yeah. It was that people show up. We just have a guest star.
And then we'll bring Tanad Zenid to cut his hair during the podcast.
We should cut Freddie's hair while he's asleep.
Napping is something that you usually just do by yourself.
Yeah, by yourself.
Right. No, Freddie's like, no, I need to surround myself with people, with strangers.
I like my nap around certain people.
Watch us be like symptomatic of like a enormous, like lifelong sleep disorder or something.
Yeah. Hey, so I need a new suit. Can you measure me? I'm just going to sleep while you do it. That's okay.
Tailor.
Tailor, thank you very much.
Arms out.
Real quick, before we wrap up, I want to talk about the Hulu announcement.
Yeah, big news came out this week, huh?
Yeah.
That's a thing.
So we're doing a show
the end.
On Hulu. It'll be out hopefully end of this year. We're sort of still figuring out the release
looking
date.
Like fall this year.
Fall this year. And it's going to be... it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to allow us to do some of these, the shorts that you guys are, well familiar with. But we've been coming up with some of these ideas for
the
shorts.
The biggest, most epic shorts.
Yeah, the president didn't really pitch it too much.
Talk about the format.
We'll just be transparent. It literally came from the idea of we have some big show ideas that we want to do, and obviously we're trying to do them with Lionsgate, but we still want to do shorts.
Yep.
The shorts we want to do are bigger.
And the problem is we've got ourselves in a situation over the last couple of years where we have these awesome big short ideas, but we just can't do them without a brand new
shorts development. Shorts don't make money. YouTube doesn't make money. It's no longer just Freddie doing stuff. It's a business.
Sure.
There's people to pay.
There's more than
you would need to bring in brand involvement, and sometimes
and
that can be
that
a problem
because
it
can
turn into a commercial.
Well, also now and nowadays brand involvement is more and more, okay, you're making us a commercial and you have to do this, this, this.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's less about the ideas anymore. You know, so
it was, and Ben kind of had this idea, and we should also say Ben Waller is the showrunner and we're kind of mentoring him into his first show. So good job, Ben.
It's very exciting.
And, we realized Lionsgate's not going to pay for shorts because nobody with any
you can't
would
make
pay
any
for
money
shorts.
Off. Right.
And we're like, why don't we just do? And literally, our thinking was why don't we just get them pay for shorts by making shorts and then just doing behind
the
scenes.
We'll make a show about
it.
Us making shorts.
Well, they said yes, and the moment so it became a real show idea, we all were like, shit, we gotta make a show. So it's a reality show. The best way, I think somebody pitched it as Project Greenlight meets Parks and Rec, because it's obviously soft-scripted. It's kind of like This Week at Rocket Jump, but less weird and more sitcom-y. And it is going to be genuinely about the behind-the-scenes of that short, but it's also as much, literally the story is us figuring out how to make a real show. So it's a reality show behind us, realizing we're stuck making a reality show.
Yeah.
It has to be good, because it's on Hulu, paid for by with Lionsgate, and it's a real thing. So... yeah, I mean, we're writing this like a real show. Like, we have a team of writers now. We brought in Ashley Birch, which a lot of you probably know from Hey Ash, what's she playing? She's freaking incredible. And, you know, we're in the writer's room, and we got some other talent in there. And the sketches are incredible. We have
some
about,
of the funniest stuff, I think.
So we're kind of finishing up writing the sketches. We have about 20, 22 really awesome ones that we want. So we got to find a way to narrow down to the 8 we're going to do. But they're huge. Like, the idea of these are huge blockbuster sketches with big stunts, like kind of the craziest
stunts. Big stunts. We're
going
to have some celebrity cameos.
Yeah.
Do all kinds of great
stuff.
They're
going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And yeah, then it's going to be a lot about us and the crazy world and of this... making these videos, and hopefully kind of be about how we transition from YouTube
just
making shorts
YouTube
to
guys making real stuff.
Trying to find a way to make real, you know, content that everybody wants to watch. So pretty excited by it, and like any good project, it's terrifying and challenging, and we're going to try to find a way to make it as awesome as possible.
We will make it awesome. That's our commitment to you.
We'll try.
That's what's going on. Be
great. I'm really
we're going to make it awesome.
Bags over here.
Oh, I don't know.
It's just going to be a GoPro angle inside a barf bag as on a plane, and
as we fly Matt to location.
Do the David Fincher travel from the stomach.
Oh, God.
Like
one of those pill cams? That'd be awesome.
Or like Three King style.
Yeah,
exactly. Just insert of me throwing up.
So that's what we got coming down the line. That's what we're working on right now. We also have a couple other shows that we're working on, which we'll reveal some more details about once.
D4-4 there.
D4-4 was mentioned in Variety this week as well. So that makes that even more real. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's happening. Yes, they did.
Also, can we just take just a quick second? There are no. So, like, okay, so I understand why, and I think we all sort of have to kind of just deal with it. Because of the way the corporate PR stuff works, but it's like it's like I'm front and center on this press release, and it's really funny to me because there are no photos of me anywhere online that are any good. So like they just pick like you want to go
the
through
goofiest
just,
photos.
They pick like the goofiest.
Stop making goofy faces when
it's
you keep getting awards.
Your goofy faces.
You're taking
awards. Like, go to the Hollywood Reporter and just look at the picture they chose. It makes me look like a conniving,
you look like
a dumbass.
Sometimes it's like, this guy doesn't take any of this seriously.
Nothing wrong with that.
People are also wondering, and also, it's exclusive to Hulu, but the shorts themselves are going to be on our channel, like shorts.
Yeah, like shorts, yeah.
Like shorts. And then also people were asking about different countries. And obviously, we don't know the plans yet, but yes, people in other countries will be able to see it.
They will be available to everyone at some point. We'll let you know the details as soon as we have them.
Yeah.
It's a crazy new world that we're entering, and one of the things that we've learned and we're starting to realize is the strategy, the sort of Hollywood strategy of windowing, the idea of like you have to kind of do this first and this first and this first, it's the only way you can make this stuff sustainably. Mm-hmm. Just period. Like we are not yet in the world where you can just release it everywhere all at once for free or for some sort of like paid download and hope that can make your money back. I mean, it does, but your budget supports a team of two people.
And
as
on that note,
to,
just to put our, I was going to say face the fire. That's not the saying, but I like that saying more as intense.
Face the fire.
That's better. Let's just start using that.
To face the fire.
On that note, we should, me and Ray owe the postmortem of VJHS and putting the budget out there. And we have some thoughts on everything we learned in terms of how
to
make or not make money on
let's do that
platform
before we go and make this new show.
Yeah,
let's see what worked and what didn't.
We got busy, but we owe that postmortem, so we'll have that up soon. And frankly, we should, and I don't know, we're really bad at self-promotion.
We need hype, man.
Yeah, people should be watching This Week at Rocket Jump. Like we kind of
because it
really,
is fantastic.
Yeah, it's
obviously
not,
we're biased, but I truly, genuinely think it's a fantastic show.
Yeah, John Carman's doing awesome stuff, and again, it's not the Freddie W. sketches. It's not replacing,
but it's not
those,
pretending to be.
But it's just weekly crazy content, and John's doing some really bizarre angles on behind the scenes and a reality show type thing. And he's making us all crazy characters. And I mean, he's doing everything that we loved about Ruby Dog, and we kind of just let him unleash and get as weird as possible.
We let him get as weird as possible. It's all on the website and on Rocket Jump 2.
Rocket Jump 2 trailer is up, and the first episode comes out the day that we're filming this. for season two. But
so when you're listening to this, that episode is up. Go watch.
This week at Rocket Jump.
The brand new season just launched. Yeah,
if you know any hype men, maybe send them our way.
No, we should also thank everyone. You know, the people who are listening are our diehard fans, and they're the reason why we get to make another big, awesome show with people like Lionsgate and Hulu. So thank you guys so much for being such diehard fans and sticking with us. Couldn't do it without you.
Thanks very much, everybody. That'll be it for today. We'll talk to you all next time. I'll see everybody.
You know, it feels bizarre that we don't have a sign off.
We'll figure it out.
We need a sign off.
There, that's it.
Put your face to the fire, everybody.
Face the fires.
Face the fire with Face Rocker.
Face the fire with Face Rocker.
Horrible. All right.
See you guys. See you. Adios.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening, everybody. This podcast is recorded, engineered, and mixed mastered by Alex Reeves of Point of Blue Studios. Thank you very much, Alex, for making us sound so silky smooth. Produced by Benji Dolly. Hit us up on Twitter at Rocket Jump Tweet and our Instagram account. We got just Rocket Jump now on Instagram for behind the scenes photos and videos.